T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We head out to Las Vegas, Nevada, where I assume it's at least 35 to 50 degrees warmer. And that is Sweeney Murdy, who's working the tables all night long. Is that correct, Sweeney?
Yeah, no windows, no clocks. I have no idea what the temperature is here. But I hear it's cold back home, huh?
Did you
windows, no clocks. What's the temperature like out there?
I don't know, dude. I'm inside. It's fine.
You gotta have an idea.
No,
come on.
Joe, when you know this. When you're in Vegas,
it's air conditioning. It's too cold in here. It's hot outside and it's too cold inside.
Absolutely, but you're also in a cave, basically.
No,
you don't
I know
even
that.
See the outside world.
No,
it's
I know.
It looked like the sun was coming up when I left my room. I got a nice view of the new football stadium, actually.
Oh, dude.
Where
are you guys at? Mandalay Bay?
Yes.
Okay.
How much progress on that football stadium right now?
You know what? I will tweet out a picture and show you.
That's a good idea. I will retweet the picture that you tweet
all
out,
right.
Sweeney.
Here, I'm going to try and do that right now while we're talking.
Very good.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you gambled at all? Be honest with me.
No.
Not at all?
No,
not.
Not
one game of blackjack.
Dude, no. You know what? My sinuses are killing me. I've been in bed pretty early every night trying to knock this out. It stinks to come all the way out here and not have any fun yet.
Yeah.
Maybe by the end of the week, we'll see.
I'm just kind of curious because I love playing blackjack. I find that to be a lot of fun. And you sit around, you're with the guys or the gals, and you talk. Do general managers go over to the blackjack tables, play, and while they're playing, negotiate trades? Does that happen, or is that just something I'm envisioning?
If they do, they probably have it brought up to their suite instead of out in public.
You can't
do
that.
Well, I'm telling you, it's funny. I forget who I was talking to yesterday. I said, they're wondering why all the GMs are in one hotel and the media is in another. They said, why? So because they don't want us seeing you guys talking to each other in the lobby. So, well, if we're talking to each other in the lobby, we're probably not doing any sort of a deal. And that's, they do all that stuff upstairs. But yeah, I could, I've never seen, a table crowded with, three or four general managers, if that's what you're
That's
asking.
What I figured the Mets and Yankees and Marlins are doing. They're all at a table. And,
could be
the
on a
Mets
golf
are
course,
playing
too.
Very small hands.
Yeah.
And Ryan's playing bigger hands.
Could be on a golf course, too. I mean, that's possible. No?
Well,
I think you're just envisioning that for yourself
now. Of course.
Yeah. That's where Joe would be making the deals.
Yes.
Of course.
If Joe was the GM, he would say, hey, come meet me out here. When we make the turn, we'll figure this out.
Sweet, there isn't enough money in the world for me to be a GM. I just got to tell you that right now. I just want to say.
What could possibly you being the GM of the Jets or the Mets?
No, I want to be the
possibly...
No. I want to own the Jets. I would not want to be the GM. I want to own them.
This but way I got But you'd still be making decisions
well,
like
I'd
a GM.
Have the last so say. I'd have the last say in everything.
Oh, okay.
You don't understand?
Gotcha.
Yes.
Sure.
That's it.
Sure. Total control.
Yeah, well, I'd be the owner. I don't want to be the GM or the coach. I'm
so
no coach.
You want to be Jerry Jones.
I want to be Jerry Jones. Right. That's exactly right.
Oh, I saw your picture you just tweeted, Sweeney. It's,
there you go.
Got a lot of work to do. It's not even done with the frame yet.
No, and the cranes haven't moved in the 2 days I've been here. Yeah. You see all the cranes in the picture? I haven't seen them move yet.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they're at the table. I don't know.
There you go.
What a view, though.
We'll have to go out there for a Jet Raider game one time.
Oh, yeah.
So, Sweeney, of course, I won't be working when that's happening. But let me ask you, so what's going on out there right now? Are we hearing anything exciting going on?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I assume you guys have been talking about this.
Yes.
The Mets, Marlins, Yankees rumor
that
started floating around last night. Late last night I asked around, and, the couple of responses that I got was there's nothing there and not that hot, long shot. And I got those responses back within about 10 minutes from people, which tells me that there really isn't anything hot, because if it was hot and heavy, they wouldn't have responded back to me that quickly to tell me what was going on. Generally how I feel they operate. So I think that there's definitely a lot of creativity happening there, and I think that the signals the Yankees have sent that they're in on Manny Machado tells you that Miguel Andujar is, you know, is gettable, and it makes sense. I started piecing this together as, you know, different text conversations with people last night. What would a deal like this look like? What would make sense? And certainly Andujar to the Marlins would make a lot of sense in any sort of convoluted deal like this. But the one part I can't figure out is when Brody Van Wagenen says he's not trying to create a hole in order to fix another one. If you trade Syndergaard and get Realmuto, then you have to go fill that hole in the pitching staff.
No question.
And that's where maybe the free agent market opens up a little bit for you. But
or trading for Kluber.
Or trading, well, but you'd have to, you still have to have significant pieces to trade. And I think the Mets have depleted a little bit of that. They probably feel like they still have enough to get something done. But I feel like if the Mets are going to dip into free agency to fill a starting pitching need, that's where, now I understand, you know, you trade Syndergaard, you lose his salary and all that stuff, but you know, the Mets so far have just moved money around. They haven't increased
payroll. Yeah, exactly. They have not.
That's where the real test is going to be as to where they are with you know, where Brody and Jeff are
and Sweeney,
in making this plan work.
Here's the other thing about the Mets. Forget about even trading Syndergaard. Let's say they didn't trade Syndergaard. They keep their rotation intact. They have no pitching depth because once you get past the four guys, you've got Jason Vargas and Corey Oswalt. That's it. You know, the Yankees at least have guys with some experience. Good experience. Jonathan Loaiza, Domingo Herman. Lee Sessa. I know Sonny Gray is gone. They actually have more of that, so the Mets don't have pitching depth to begin with, and that's before ever even dealing away Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, and there's so many things happening at the same time here. You know, to give you an idea of, you know, like these deals get floated out there and you figure, okay, what happens here and there? But there's so many things at the same time. The Yankees are you know, trying to figure out if they can get Jay Happ. If they can't get Jay Happ, are they going to get Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer? They're trying to trade Sonny Gray, and the return on that is kind of, you know, is, you know, Brian Cashman indicated there's different levels of deals, whether it's straight prospect or something like that. And then what do you do with those prospects? Do you turn those guys around and maybe have them be part of a Kluber deal? You know, the Mets are going through these same things. They try to figure out what makes the most sense. But it's pretty clear that they're going through a lot of different avenues to try to get JT Realmuto. And, you know, the Marlins showed you last year what they're willing to do as far as trading guys off. As much as Don Mattingly says he's looking at Realmuto as part of his team, it's hard to believe they're going to, you know, that he's going to be a Marlin much longer.
Mm. What about a guy like AJ Pollock? Because I, you know, obviously the Mets, we've heard about interest in him, center fielder. You know, he'd be a good guy. I mean, he's a second tier free agent, however you want to say it. How about a guy like him, Sween?
Yeah, I found it interesting that the Mets floated his name out there, you know, pretty freely, which tells you a lot about what they think about him. And I think it sounds like some of these other, you know, if they have to move an outfielder to get Realmuto, if they have to think about trading a Nimmo or a Conforto, and we know that they don't want to do both, then again, are you willing to increase payroll to fill holes here? You know, that was the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, what Brody said yesterday, is that, you know, he's really not, and it was in relation to a question about trading Ahmed Rosario. And it was the idea that we're not looking to create a hole to fill a hole. You know, you have to have a plan to get, that's, which is why, you know, the pitching thing kind of seems to, you know, trading Syndergaard seems to not make a lot of sense until you know where they're going to fill those, you know, fill that caliber of a starter. So I would think Pollock makes some sense to them, and they clearly, listen, they wouldn't bring his name up publicly if they didn't like the player and think he could fit there. They don't know when they're getting Cespedes back, but if they have to trade from outfield to make something else happen, I would see him as a real possibility.
Yeah, and I think without trading an outfielder, Pollock makes sense because they don't have a center fielder. I mean, their center fielder right now is Juan Lagares, and to me, Yoenis Cespedes doesn't exist. He's a dinosaur.
Right.
Yeah. He's extinct. I don't think about him. If he ever comes back, you worry about it then. I do think, to your point, if they trade Nimmo or Conforto, I think those guys are more replaceable because you've got a guy like Nick Marcakis is sitting there in free agency, one- or two-year deal. A guy like Cargo, I don't love him as much, but he's out there. Michael Brantley is out there. You've got these left-handed corner outfielders that are out there. You sign one of them to replace Nimmo and Conforto, it's easier to do. Replacing Ahmed Rosario, replacing Noah Syndergaard, that's tougher to do.
Right, Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's a shortstop out there that hasn't gotten a lot of play. And when I was on with Jody Mack a couple of weeks ago, I said, this is the kind of guy I could see, you know, he would make sense for the Yankees as far as being a defensive upgrade,
Iglesias?
Being able to move around. That's one guy. Freddie Galvis.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that would improve your defense, and whenever Didi comes back, you could move him around. Galvis can make a lot of sense for teams that are, if you're talking about even trading Rosario, that's another type of guy, too. Iglesias is out there, too, good defender, and probably wouldn't be all that expensive. But there are a few options out there for stuff like that.
Hmm. Well, what's the latest on Bryce Harper? Is there anybody right now interested in this guy? Do you see him staying in Washington?
It seems like nobody wants to admit they want Bryce Harper.
Right, right.
You know, the Nationals say they're out. And the Yankees say that they're out.
And, right.
You know, I was talking to a former GM out in the hall about an hour ago. I said, you never believe any of it. You know, it all sounds like posturing right now. I mean, are you really supposed to believe the Nationals don't want him back at all? Are you really supposed to believe the Yankees? You know, he told me he's never in his career believed the Yankees are out on a player especially when they say that they're out.
Right.
So,
sure.
And listen, Brian Cashman gave us the reasons that Harper doesn't fit, but part of the reasons he's saying he doesn't fit is because two of his outfielders, Jacoby Ellsbury and Clint Frazier. And I can't count them as part of my outfield depth at this point, not knowing who they are and what they are. Jacoby Ellsbury didn't play a single game last year. Clint Frazier's been dogged by the concussion since last February. And while you might consider him healthy, you know, because of the nature of that injury, I'm not sure you know what you know about him. And even if he is healthy, he's a desirable prospect. Whether you're talking about the Marlins or the Indians or anything else that you're trying to accomplish, I'm sure he's part of the equation there. So I can't – now you're talking about – you know, he still says, okay, take those two guys out, Gardner in left, Hicks in center.
Gardner should not
Judge
be the
everyday
left fielder, Swing. Come on.
Well, put it this way. The opinions that I've gotten from people here – Brett Gardner should not be the one standing in the way
of course not.
Bryce Harper.
Of course not. Yeah. That was the issue with his comments. Now, look, Brian Cashman's been around for 20 years, and he has shown us that his words aren't always the case. You know, Joe laid out Bubba Crosby's our center fielder.
Yeah,
Nick
and
Swisher's
that was kind of an extreme
baseman.
Example. But Teixeira, as first baseman, is the one that kind of stands out.
Yeah.
Said, yeah, I had it. And I asked him about that yesterday. He said, well, I did have a spot for him because Nick Swisher can move to the outfield. But that's not what they were saying leading up to Mark Teixeira signing
right.
with the New York Yankees.
The problem was, to me, with these comments, and I mentioned this earlier, is no Yankee fan wants to hear the names Jacoby Ellsbury, mm-hmm. Brett Gardner.
As reasons of standing in the way of this guy.
Those guys are not
everyday
center fielders now, right now. Outfielders, why would you mention them as the reason?
A lot of it is because there would appear to be a limited market for players of this stature because the dollars involved. You know, it makes sense for teams like the Nationals or the Yankees to keep downplaying it so they're not driving up a market price for them. But, there the things that have been floated out as kind of negatives about Harper, you know, they're fairly legit. You know, his defensive metrics don't play very well. He's had a couple of down years since his MVP season. The Nationals were a pretty good team with high expectations that Harper was never able to put over the top. These are the things that you're hearing about him. That's fine, but he's still 26 years old, left-handed bat that would kill in that stadium, and you know his desire to play and his desire to be great too. That's something that you don't see a lot from a lot of people. There are a lot of people who want big paychecks in this game. There are not a lot of people who desire to be great. And what you see and hear about Bryce Harper and his desire in the past to, you know, think about the Yankees, this desire to be great stands out. And that's something that not everybody has.
Mm. Sween?
Well, I got a few more for you,
Sween. Hit him a
couple
more.
Number one, the Mets-Yankees idea of making a trade together, because for years we always take calls, hey, the Mets and the Yankees would do this. My theory has always been for a while, George didn't want to do it. George didn't want to risk ever helping the Mets. And over the last few years, it's been a ownership on the Met end of things. We don't want to give Jay Bruce to the Yankees. God forbid he hits a home run in the Subway Series. My impression now is Cashman really doesn't care about making a deal with the Mets. It doesn't stop him. And Brody now has the ear, at least temporarily, of ownership, and he doesn't seem to care about making a deal with the Yankees. Is that a fair conclusion that both teams now seem more open than ever to make significant trades with each other?
I think Brian Cashman's always open to making his team better, and I think Brody Van Wagenen is open to different ideas now because he's never really been a part of this. You know, really it comes down to the Wilpon end of it, I think, as far as what they're willing to do, because you know, I was discussing this about an hour ago. I said, you know, we've talked about this idea that you know the last thing the Mets want to see is Noah Syndergaard win a Cy Young Award or lead the Yankees to the World Series. And I don't think it has to go that far. He goes 4-0 in April. Mm. You know, what are you guys going to be saying?
Right.
That?
Well,
you know. That's
depends
the kind of thing that
depends
what
the Mets got back
on what the
are
Mets
doing?
Are doing. That's yeah. the kind of thing that stands in the way of it. I still think it, at the ownership level, there is some hesitance to do deals like that. I don't think the GMs are ever opposed to it because they're trying to make their teams better, and they look at it from a talent standpoint. I think all of that's a fight at the ownership level.
Mm. Also, Joel Sherman tweeted about a half hour ago that the Yankees have interest in acquiring JT Realmuto for themselves and actually having the combo together where both guys catch a little bit, Gary Sanchez and Realmuto, Sanchez DHs. I'm intrigued by that. It's certainly very different to have two, you know, grade A catchers on the roster. It certainly would keep both guys fresh. You think that would happen?
It would be hard to imagine that you could make that work, but you know you've got Stanton to deal with, you know. Mm. And if you're talking about Stanton and Sanchez both as a DH, you know, you're not moving either of those guys to first base. If Joel says it's possible, I totally get that it's possible. That's a hard roster shuffle to make when you're talking about trying to get some flexibility. I've seen Alex Rodriguez walk through the door when you didn't think it was possible twice. And the only thing short of Babe Ruth walking through is what would surprise me at this point with the Yankees. I would never say no on any of them. Just like I say, I won't believe that Harper and Machado are not Yankees till I see them playing for somebody else or holding up some other team's uniform. I would never say that's not possible.
Mm. Syndergaard and Conforto for Andujar and Stanton. I'll do that.
Wait, let me say it. Syndergaard and Conforto for
yes.
Andujar and Stanton.
Done.
Wow, okay. And you take on all that contract?
No, the Yankees would have to take on some money. And maybe not even throw some more on. Because, look, would I take on a contract?
Of course. The Wilpons
wouldn't take on the contract. Of course
we're,
not.
We're going to hang up the phone now, aren't we?
this is my mindset. You know,
well, it's the continuing battle that Joe and I have with the fact that the Mets don't spend enough.
Because let's be honest, instead of even thinking about trading Syndergaard, okay, go out there and throw the money at Bryce Harper, okay? You know what? And then then we could talk about making a deal to get you. Okay, we can talk about a lot of different things. God forbid they ever do that. You know?
Yeah. The payroll is going to, until they change the payroll, you know, all Brody's done so far is move pieces.
Right. I'm glad you're saying that.
That's it. No, of course.
That's the honest truth. Now, did they take on money down the road? Absolutely. But there's also not a lot of guaranteed contracts four years from now.
Right.
In the short term, they move things around. They didn't pick up significant money by bringing in Robbie Cano. And I'm glad you're mentioning that because it's true.
Somebody told me on the way out here to look at that deal as two separate deals. It was Cano for Bruce and Swarzak, and it was Diaz for the prospects.
Right, okay.
Two separate deals. That's how it makes sense, and that's how basically, you know, when you're doing the bookkeeping, that's how you have to look at it. So they haven't really done anything yet as far as significantly adding. They've moved pieces around, and they're a better team now than they were a week ago.
Yes,
no doubt.
They are,
no doubt.
No doubt about that.
That's really all you're looking
to
do.
But they've got more to do. A lot more to do.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sweeney.
All right, Sweeney. All right, feel better, Sweeney.
Sweeney.
Oh, thanks.
He's battling, and he's working out there at the winter meeting, Sweeney Murdy. My dream right now, I know we've had a few people say Realmuto's not that good. He's not Johnny Bench. this is what I want. I want Real Muto, and I just want to give up Nimmo on a prospect. That's it. If you give me that, Joe.
Of course.
And I like Nimmo.
Of course. That's an of course.
And then you sign Mark Kakis.
And that's of course. So basically, those are all of courses in my mind.
That's right.
There you go.
Or.
But go ahead. Or what?
I would do Nimmo to Cleveland for Kluber and then just sign one of the catchers and build this super rotation.
There's another of course.
You like that one?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.